All right, so we got a few people watching. I think it's probably a good time to roll the intro and then just officially get everything going. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, go. All right, so hey, everyone. Officially, happy Friday here. This is the Zcash podcast, episode 10. So 10 months in a row, basically, I've been doing this. Proudly sponsored by the Zcash Minor Grants Program. Very grateful for that support. And I'm joined by two people I've talked to before, but definitely not in the same context or room, as it were. First, Adi, or Aditya Bharadwaj of Nighthawk Apps. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. It's good to be working on privacy tech, especially this year. A lot of our work is going mainstream, and people are finally learning about its implications of having a public transaction graph, right? Mm-hmm. So, let's talk a bit more about what the crypto ecosystem is up to.
Yeah. And of course, we have Alux of the Maya protocol, fork of Thorchain. I guess I would say the star, I don't know if there's any others right yet, but it's the star fork of Thorchain for sure. And how's it going?
All good. All good, man. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, no problem. So there's two kind of main thought processes behind getting this chat together. The first is, obviously, I'm a big fan of Zcash, and I'm a big fan of the Maya protocol. And obviously, you know, work together is better. But also, since my personal usage of crypto, like I've... The fiat part of exchanges, I've never touched at all. I've never bought crypto from exchanges. It's only ever been paid in it. And so back in the day, I used to use old school Shapeshift, and where I just swapped for whatever other coin I needed. And then over time, that didn't really work out for Shapeshift, but there's still swap services around. And so historically, me and other people like me who use crypto a lot for real world things use those swap services all the time. And then these days it's always like a game of cat and mouse of like, what if you throw too much volume through Changely? Are they going to try to make you KYC and hold your funds hostage? And like, oh no. So when I heard about Thorchain, I was like, awesome. This is just what I want, but it's like decentralized and I want to start using it. And two of the assets that I use the most these days for transactions and being paid in it and stuff are Dash and Zcash. And so right away, I'm just like, let's get these on Thorchain. And Thorchain talked a lot about which Thorchain's a decentralized protocol, I should say, who was ever running the Twitter account and other things, talked a lot about made a lot of good overtures, like made sound like that both of these were in fact coming to Thorchain. And then in the end of the day, they sort of didn't really say no. They just just kind of got put off and just didn't happen. And so when I was interviewing Chad Bareford, one could call probably the number one Thorchain guy, he mentioned about forks, and he mentioned, oh, there's something called the Maya protocol. And I was like, really? And so just like as soon as the interview's over, I went and like looked up and like, what's going on? And that was way before launch. And then since then, I've been, you know, involved with the Maya ecosystem as well. And of course, heavily lobbied to get Dash listed on the Maya protocol, which it was as the first additional chain. I believe Kujira is the second one that has been merged into the code as of hours ago, not too long ago. And there's going to be a churn in about a couple weeks, a node churn that then will actually start liquidity and trading and stuff. Is that correct?
The couple weeks, it's a bit off. Between today and tomorrow, we should have a churn. And then probably Monday, Tuesday, activate trading. We have it right around the corner. For any Kujira Dejin listening or curious, you will now be able to get Kuji from Bitcoin, ETH, Dash, Rune, or any Thorchain supported asset quite easily without having to go through a central exchange. So that's nice.
Yeah. So when I was obviously paying attention to, which everyone was trying to get on Thorchain in the beginning, And then I was kind of paying attention to like who had done actual work, because like Alex friend of mine who he did pretty much all the development for the Dash Thorchain integration, also did a Decred Thorchain integration that just didn't end up going where I'm still not 100% sure what the end reasons were. But then so I was like, oh, like Zcash has one funded too. This is awesome. Like, it's not just the community saying, add us, but like, we're not doing any of the work. Like, no, this is like work going behind this. And so, you know, then I, you know, when I got more familiar with the Zcash community, I was like, oh, it's the Nighthawk team. That's awesome. You know, I know that they do good work and they're kind of working behind it. And so that's kind of where we're at now, is like basically a lot of the world, like a lot of the Zcash community, I'm sure is aware of Thorchain or something like that, but maybe not a lot is on these kind of like Thorchain and Maya and why it matters. And so I was kind of want to talk about that, about why this kind of would matter to a project like Zcash, and then vice versa, and then sort of explore where we're at with these things, right? So, yeah, so first, Adi, do you want to say a few things about the stuff you've been doing with the Thorchain stuff? Like, just, you know, nothing in too in-depth, just like kind of the overview of that.
Yeah, sure. To just recap how it all started with Zcash, one of the dev relations person from ECC had put out a post in early 2021 to get Zcash added on Thorchain. That mm-hmm. was the early days when we really wanted an L1 swap, knowing the drawbacks of depending on centralized exchanges for Zcash users, right? Mm-hmm. And then it took almost like half a year for team members, my team, to put together a plan. There were other people also considering working on getting Zcash on Thorchain, but they were just maybe not interested. There were also hacks going on that year, so that kind of led some community members to be against adding on Thorchain. So finally, after a lot of push through and a 6-month discussion with the grants committee that time, we got the funding approved. What was then supposed to be just 4 months of work to get Zec added has been elongated in a long, like 2-year time frame right now, especially with some more vulnerabilities found in the Thorchain 2022. The chain was halted. Some other major upgrades that Zcash had itself, we had the network upgrade 5 with the Orchard pool, the trustless setup upgrade, that was a big one. We also went through a big mempool and a chain spam, or you can call it sandblasting, which is still ongoing. So there have been a lot of different issues affecting this integration, because you have to consider from Thorchain's angle, right? Of course, they want to support all chains and get everything working, but they also have trade-offs on their end as to how many active chains they can support, what are the load on their nodes. Maybe Alex can go over it, how Maya does it differently, or how Maya can have more chains working. So it has come down to a point right now where we are still kind of working on getting the Golang implementation of Zcash, unlike other chains which do have a Golang implementation of their cryptography. Zcash doesn't have many such implementations. So it becomes a more critical piece where you don't want to have mistakes before you go into an audit of the code base. And that is preferably before we go into the testnet of Thorchain. So we are still working with some engineers to find general expertise in Golang. Even Thorchain team has members have, we've been talking to them and have reached out to see what can we do next. But given the last week or two of activities, I don't know what the kind of like a thinking is in the Thorchain community right now. Mm-hmm. But on our part, we still want to get the Golang implementation done. So if anyone does want to integrate with the Golang Zec libraries and the whole stack of changes that are required for Zec to be added, on a Thought chain or Thought chain forked chain. So yeah, we have a bunch of things in progress and there are a bunch of dependencies and blockers. Unfortunately, our team lead who is leading the implementation couldn't join this call, but we do plan to give an update to our on the forum of the Zcash soon regarding this progress.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something where, like, it's kind of funny because I really hope crypto hits more like a mass adoption type phase sooner rather than later, just because of all the favorite things that I want done that I'm lobbying for getting done just don't have the dev availability that I'd kind of like. And so, like, for example, I remember there was an Electrum wallet implementation that it was like, oh, this needs to be updated, it's critical, who can do it? And it's like, well, the amount of Python devs who are familiar with this kind of stuff and this blockchain in particular and all that, like, it's just like it'd be hard to find someone to do this and stuff. And then it was sort of the same with you know, like, I don't know exactly which, like, the programming languages especially, which ones are supported by, like, for example, you have stuff like Bitcoin that's like very C++ or whatever, and then you have, you know, obviously Thorchain, there's a lot of Go involved with that. And I remember that in a sore spot in particular was an early version of the Dash Evolution platform was that they decided to just write the whole thing in JavaScript, and then they ended up just scrapping it and just rewriting the entire thing in Rust. And so at least I hear Rust pop up a lot in the crypto space, so it seems to be more of like a theme. But yeah, it's something that's like underappreciated, I think, is just how much, like, once you have a functioning blockchain, that's like 5% of the battle. There's just so much other stuff to be built out, and it's not as easy as like, hey, add my, like, they always like add my chain. And I think this is something that, for example, for Monero in particular, has been an annoyance over the years, is just through the different architecture and then just like the lack of, I guess, services and tooling and things like that around its specific architecture has just made it so, you know, the Monero people will just get really like, add our coin, and then they're like, all right, sure. And they're like, ooh, I don't know if we can. And then they go, oh, we didn't like you anyway, or whatever. And so, yeah, this is something that I think it, you know, it's definitely worth pursuing. Like, obviously, with the goal of getting on something like Thorchain is great, but just even just outside of that, I mean, it's something that needs to be done and, you know, build all that stuff out. So before we dive into some of the other stuff, I guess just like a quick recap of, you know, what Thorchain and the Maya protocol really are, and I'll kind of give my quick summary of like what I think that is in the value proposition, and Alex can kind of add in some little bits. But basically, because I try to explain a lot of times, I'm like, oh, I try to shorten my explanations, and then people say like, well, what about this? And I'm like, yeah, that's a different thing. And so Thorchain / Maya cross chain AMM DEX protocol is what I usually say. I think that kind of covers most of things in this. It's an exchange that's actually natively cross-chain. Meaning that you don't have to wrap assets. Like, if I put Bitcoin in, I can get Ethereum out. It's like in real Ethereum, not like I put Bitcoin, because there was one, I forget what it was called. There was some other DEX that I used operated very similarly, but you would wrap Bitcoin, swap it for a wrapped ETH, and then you could unwrap the ETH. So you could get it right all the way through, but it would be a few steps. It wasn't just in, out. So cross-chain, automated market maker, AMM, meaning you don't have to, it's not like an atomic thing where you have to be like, all right, I want to trade this much Bitcoin for this much ETH. Who else wants to do it? Anyone? Anyone? No? Nobody? Really? Nobody? It's not one of those situations. It's where you can just like Uniswap style, click a button and then sends in and it makes the trade. And then DEX, obviously decentralized exchange, and DEX protocol, meaning it's like a actual chain. It's an actual blockchain. It's not just like one app or something that you're using to trade. And then that means it's like an actual blockchain that does all this stuff, and you can build other DEX front ends on top of it. In fact, I've heard a lot of front ends be referred to as DEXs, which I don't think is correct, but it's people think like, oh, ThorSwap DEX went down. It's not really, you know, it's not a good DEX. It's like, it's not DEX at all, dudes. But anyway, Alex, is there anything you want to add to kind of that whole thing?
You summarized it well. It's a set of permissionless nodes, and importantly, I think there's two sides to the decentralized coin. One is how does all the magic happen when I want to actually swap, but the second part is the self custody part, and I think sometimes people forget the latter. One of the beautiful things on my Anthrochain is you have your coins in your self-custody wallet, and you send it into the Thorchain and or Maya and receive it to your self-custody wallet a few minutes after. So that's part of the magic. And the risk profile then becomes much smaller. What do I mean? Just the fact that you touch, the time dimension is so short in the swap, you touch the protocol so briefly, simply means that even if let's say a desk was riskier, just for the fact that you are a shorter period of time, is already much better in a sense. The problem with central exchange inherently being it's a time bomb. You have your funds there, you don't custody them, and anytime they can go bankrupt, they can go insolvent, they can go take all the money away and disappear. They can be regulated, they can be frozen, whatever. So you don't want to get stuck on that rainy day. But the fact these central exchanges typically use them keeping your funds there. So that makes that equation more difficult. Maya got greatly inspired by what Thorchain was doing. And we joined that fight in April 2021, launched early this year, and have been having our own swaps, LPs, everything since then, and our own set of assets. As you say, Dash launched a few months back, Kujira now online, and we have Arbitrum next, and then we have kind of a set of other chains that we want to explore in depth. And Caspa is one of them, Cardano is one of them, and Zcash, obviously some things to talk about today, what to do with privacy, what privacy is. Is it a bad thing? Why do people get so scared of it? And kind of have a deep discussion on that front.
Yeah, so on the subject of, why does it make sense for Zcash to be part of some sort of a situation, some part of a system like this? I'll just give my very personal user experience kind of perspective, and then let ID kind of expand maybe a little bit more into some of the value propositions. But for me, obviously, and people like me, value privacy very much and like to promote technologies and use technologies that make privacy, a lot more mainstream and usable. And for example, just in this last week, there was the testing of the alert system all around and phones all over the US, and everyone was saying like, why did I just get this alert? And like, it was me and a few other like GrapheneOS users saying like, haha, I didn't get it, I'm better than you guys, because of like a actual privacy respecting device. And so I want to use Zcash. It's harder to get than I'd like. And also, I prefer to use Zcash in, places where I can because of, the higher level privacy. What I use most commonly for payments is Dash, because it's accepted just about everywhere and everywhere that you can use, crypto things. And so a lot of times if I have 50-50 Zcash Dash, I'll try to spend the Zcash first because there's fewer places I can figure out how to use it. But then a lot of times I do end up having to then swap. And the problem is there's no decentralized way of kind of doing that. And I think that that's something that I'm sure there's a lot of people like me who would like there to be a good, easy way to acquire Zcash, or also people who just want to be like, I'm going to try to live on Zcash as much as I can, have a lot of Zcash is in percentage of what you have, and then just spend it everywhere as long as you know you can easily use something like Thorchain or Maya to swap to something where you can't actually use Zcash. And this, it kind of gives you, it's better than just being like, well, I don't know if I can use this at all. I'm just not going to have it at all, or I'm not going to try to use it at all. And I think I tried to do a trade on like some atomic dexes and things before, and it's not click a button. And that's the big thing that I think makes the AMM DEX protocol part of things more than just an atomic DEX, in my experience, is being able to just be like, I want this, swap. And so for me, that's why, for my personal experience, I guess that's why I like Zcash in this greater Thorchain ecosystem. Adi, do you have any other thoughts of why this is something like this could be important for Zcash?
Yeah, so thanks for sharing your point of view there. It's quite interesting to see how an experienced crypto user looks at things about directly getting started swapping and using. But when it comes to an average or a new person to crypto, for them, it's more like only two ways really how they can acquire the crypto. One is to either offer services for it, to earn it, right? But with the adoption being so low, you end up choosing the second path, which is you buy it off somebody. So in the good old days, we could just use local Bitcoins or meet someone and then exchange whatever cryptocurrencies you want for cash. And these days, you have to kind of open a bank account with one of these centralized exchanges, Coinbase, Kraken, Gemini, and so many others, right? You have to give up all your information. You're subject to their limits. In Canada, we have like a $50,000 or $30,000 Canadian limit on altcoins, which are not for the top coins they like, which is the BTC, BCH, ETH, and LTC. So there are many such issues for new users who want to start off with privacy coins. Because if we are selling our like Zcash as digital cash, it has to be either equivalent or better than cash. Mm-hmm. So DEX is the way to go if you want to get started maybe buying, or you have Bitcoin from before, or you do buy Bitcoins from local Bitcoins. And then you just send it over to a DEX like Maya and then swap it for your privacy coin of choice. So we have to get that UX really easy to use. And then maybe we can see real adoption, which I still don't believe we are there yet, especially considering the coin price. Most of the non-BTC chains are like kind of relative to their cost of mining. Mm-hmm. So that is how I judge based on adoption. Do you have a premium to your coin price?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so from the other perspective also. So it was kind of interesting to see, because I kind of came in and started using Thorchain in the ChaosNet days. But it was kind of, even though it wasn't mainnet yet, it was kind of like established, like people were trading pools, like they kind of got things figured out. I started getting into Maya before Maya existed at all. There was nothing. And so I kind of saw the very first days, like the launch, and then participated in liquidity auction, and then saw the actual launch of like a new pool, and like been looking at trading volumes and fees and things like that. And the biggest hurdle that the Maya protocol has had to overcome is the why. Like, if you have all the same assets as Thorchain, why would anyone even use Maya? And the answer in the short term, in the very short term immediately, was arbitrage, right? As in, oh, I can get a better deal on this little pool over here, and I can arbitrage, make a little bit of profit. And then it's like, okay, what happens if Thorchain's down? There's some like redundancy. Then the reasons start to creep in. And then, of course, adding Dash, which is not on Thorchain in the ecosystem at all, is like a first, and then, you know, in a few days, Kujira. That's like a reason to use, because, oh, I want those assets. I can't get those on Thorchain. And the whole, why would you use Thorchain if you can use Changely kind of thing? You know, you got blocked in certain jurisdictions, or you have KYC limits, things like that. And I guess that makes it where, oddly enough, like Dash and Zcash, where I live in the U.S., are quite well supported, right? I mean, in particular, you know, Zcash seems to have some very good connections with, like, you know, being on Gemini and things like that. But, like, Dash is on Coinbase. It doesn't get more available for U.S. residents than on Coinbase. But then sometimes I talk to, like, other people around the world, like, oh, so which ones are you using? Oh, I'm using these. Oh, yeah, I can't get that on my country. You know, and it's like, oh, no. And so going to, like, the whole, like, fiat on-ramp thing, a lot of times people have to, like, buy something and then, like, or, for example, I know a lot of people in Venezuela, and at one point there were some Venezuelan friends of mine who were onboarding a lot of merchants to specifically use Dash, and it was in the thousands of merchants. And unfortunately, other than just political turmoil and things like that that kind of had a lot of effect on that, they kept running into the problem of, like, oh, all these people will take Dash. Where do they get Dash? It's not on any local exchanges. You can get Bitcoin, but then how do you get Dash from there? A lot of people are mining Bitcoin in Venezuela to, like, you know, pay bills because of the cheap electricity. And it's like, but then, like, then they have Bitcoin, which is expensive to use, so they're not really spending it. So Dash works better, but how are they going to get the Dash? And just those kinds of kind of constraints, I can definitely see, like, an opportunity for exchanges like, you know, Thorchain and Maya, definitely, for, you know, kind of adding that to adding things that you can't otherwise get elsewhere. Now, of course, the problem or the challenge comes to is, like, do you want that smoke, as it has been said, right? So what do you guys think? So obviously the privacy coin delisting, in my conversations on the Twitter world, et cetera, seems to be the number one reason why anyone would even consider using a DEX like Thorchain or Maya, other than it's righteous because it's decentralized and we like to be decentralized. Like, an actual practical reason is, like, you get on those and we don't have to care what the regulators do. So first of all, do you think that that's, like, a top value proposition, or is it, you know, maybe misrepresented, or what? What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's important. I think, as always, users value different things. For instance, my sense is that you value flexibility, that you can move mm-hmm. around, that you're not kind of held to the ground somewhere. So that's what you will naturally feel towards positive. Some people value self-custody more, and they just like that on Maya, they have their assets, they perceive no risk, and then when they need to swap, they will just be quite fast and using something that's transparent. Some other people value certainty, and I think those are the ones you're mentioning now, because it's not getting delisted, but what if it is? Those types of people that think on what if it is, they crave certainty, and uncertainty kind of nerves them out. And that is a value proposition for them, definitely. And something great about Thorchain and Maya is I think we can mostly attract many different kinds of people. And I mean this, well, like, in the style side of things. Obviously, one caveat is, do we have the assets you need for your choices, for what you use? In your case, you mentioned, you know, I use Dash for paying, I use Zcash for paying. It would be great to move between each other. And then I sometimes also need Bitcoin because it's how I can sometimes on and off ramp something or whatever, or, you know, to buy something of higher value, whatever. So now Maya fulfills your needs. But there are people that are more like, no, I do DeFi. I care about DeFi. I don't really care about paying. I'm here, you know, to make a profit, to make yield. So those, you know, want to be in Kuji, want to be in LP pools, want to be in Thorchain, want to be able to move from Uniswap to Arbitrum, back to, you know, some other DeFi ecosystem. Great. Some people, they just need, they are BTC to ETH. That's what they need. That's what they do. And they don't need really much of anything else. Or because of their real life situation, they need some sort of route. So yeah, the interesting thing about my Thor chain is it's very straightforward that one of the ways, one of the key ways of growing is adding new chains. Mm. Why I say this is that it's not really always very clear what you need to do to grow in a chain. Like go and take the creed that you mentioned earlier. Like, what should they be doing? Like, what should they be spending their time on? It's not really always very clear. But yeah, some integrations will help. Mm-hmm. Listings will help, of course, but not really. That won't really increase their fundamentals. Mm. So, that's a very nice thing with Thorchain in my eyes. Getting a new chain always increases numbers for the very simple reason that it's more LP and the price of the token is directly related to the amount of TVL, but also the combinatorics of the routes. If I have five routes and I add one more, it seems like I just added one more, but no, I added five because it's these to these, these to these, these to these, these to these, mm-hmm. these to these. So every time you add a new chain, a new token, things quickly get very interesting. So now in the case of Zcash specifically, now you have a smaller piece of the pie that has a more specific need, and it might be the listing, the risk of the listings, right? So that might be the reason why more people use it. That might be even the edge we take if we ever promote this to the public, you know? But we'll see. What do you think, Adi? What do your users value?
Yeah, the users of Zcash totally value the privacy. And the thinking is more like, you cannot censor what you cannot see, right? So the whole point why you have privacy coin delistings is because some people are seeing some really bad things happening. Bad things happen all the time with cash and knives. That doesn't mean you ban those. They are just tools. You got to see and find the wrongful actor and their intentions, right? So obviously coins, I'm good to see, like, it's good to see that Zcash is kind of leading the pack here, at least in the conversations at this stage. As we see privacy coins being added to DEXs, maybe we need a separate DEX for itself with undocs, team members or such, given the current climate of regulators going after the people behind the front ends, as I hear in Thorchain. So there are issues all around. And again, there are many more privacy coins coming up, chains coming up. They're all going to need some kind of way to operate, because then you might also have pushback from centralized exchanges who will just not want to add that particular new privacy coin that's being developed by so many other teams. There's Penumbra, there's Namada. These are IVC-based chains. They have their own on-chain swaps, but I believe they too will want to be more accessible to their users. So they're the different process. Like, we have to get started. That's why Zcash with its transparent pools kind of is a good contender, where it is just like BTC in terms of how it operates for the end user, but it does give allow the user to withdraw the ZEC to their wallet and then shield it so they can still keep their privacy after they're done with the public swaps. One more issue with the public swaps, again, I'm touching the topic of the Thorchain issue here, mm-hmm. that's going the last 2 weeks, is that I don't blame Thorchain at all, and I don't think Thorchain users should be affected if certain coins that were tainted were moved through their chain, through the Thorchain, because after all, those are valid coins on the BTC chain or ETH chain, and these are with public transaction graphs. So you're just reflecting the validated consensus among those chains onto your ledger, which also runs BTC and an ETH chain, right? So I don't think there's anything wrong that Thorchain did. They just provided the service as is, running the chains. Maybe the operators of BTC and ETH should consider what they're doing wrong, privacy-wise.
Yeah. So just on the whole privacy index kind of issue that sort of hit the forefront, just going to throw up the ThorSwap thing on the announcement on the screen real quick. But basically, ThorSwap, the number one Thor Thorchain interface, or one of the top, or number two, I guess. As we mentioned kind of in the pre-show part, basically they're going down for, they say, after careful evaluation of advisors, legal counsel, and law enforcement, they decided to temporarily transition ThorSwap into maintenance mode. This action was taken to swiftly curtail any further potential illicit activity. So this was always kind of on the ThorChain, not necessarily always, but like for at least a year or so in the ThorChain mind share was, do we really want to get regulator attention? And it just ended up being from the most transparent chains out there, you know, Bitcoin and especially Ethereum. But this kind of thought was given about, like, you know, privacy coin. If we add a privacy coin, we're going to paint a target on our back. We're not going to do that. And ThorChain has not, first off, you know, it's a decentralized project, but also the governance system, who makes what decisions for the network, is not super clearly defined. And so it's really hard to tell exactly what's going on, but there's a definite feeling of they got cold feet on privacy coins, that they don't want to explicitly add privacy assets because of the target that this could paint on their back. And we see there's already a target, a big target, even if they don't have anything that's explicitly privacy offering at the protocol level that's on supported. So I guess the question is, for projects like ThorChain and Maya, both of which are still, I would say, in their infancy, do they even want to add a explicitly privacy-supporting asset at this stage?
Well, we have Dash. Dash has CoinJoin. Privacy. Now, in the case of Maya itself, let's get something out of the way.
Looks like there's a little bit of a connection issue for a second.
Different amount of, there we go. Like in different sizes. It's something that people have slowly been losing.
All right. Jitsi issues. stay with us, fellows. We gotta fix this for a second. But in the meantime, while waiting for everything to sort of shake out on that side of things, so ThorSwap obviously is the number one, or the front running at the very least, ThorChain interface, and basically said ThorSwap will remain in this maintenance mode until a more permanent and robust solution can be implemented to ensure the platform's continued security and integrity. And so they're very vague about exactly what they decided to do. It is for sure, it's clearly something to have an effect on the ability to do, to send through, for example, stolen funds. And yeah, I don't exactly know what they would plan on doing, because either they'd have to identify certain address origins, and the actual interface would have to do, would have to actually do some sort of an issue, would have to actually start to disallow certain swaps, or they would have to have some sort of a tracking system in where they're like, look, we let anyone do what we want. However, we let anyone do whatever we want. However, we'll be tracking exactly who is swapping to the best of our abilities and things like that, just to make sure. Anyway, let me see. I think everyone kind of got back. There must have been a Jitsi bug. But hi again, everyone.
1, 2, 3.
I don't think it was your fault, Alux, because Adi got, whacked anyway. Just as we're talking about, I think we're being spied on by, external actors. they're just like, oh no, they're about to make Zcash start to work on this stuff. Oh, kind of. But sorry, would you mind, Alex, kind of restarting from zero on that point about, like, do you think that that networks such as Thorchain and Maya, do they actually want the risk of adding explicit privacy-based assets?
Yeah. I was starting to say first that privacy is a human right. And it's something that's super important for the human experience. It's something that we've been valuing a bit less and less over time as we go into the age of kind of mobile phones and wire transfers. And many people in crypto don't value it. But it's important to know that it's your right to spend your money, either Bitcoin, or it's your right to spend it privately and not need to disclose your address, not need to disclose your bank statements, no need to disclose your balance. In the past, you didn't have to disclose all that to the federal government, let alone other people. But with time, it's been normalized as those rights have been slowly eroded. But personally, I fully support privacy. Where the trouble comes from is the utilitarian point of view of you have this new technology that is still in its early stages, Thorchain and Maya, and you kind of need it to flourish. And it's already better than the central exchange system that exists today. So it's already leaps better. But you want it to survive. You want it to be able to crawl before it can run. And you want it to have sustainable yield and the size that it won't really fail before you start, you know, picking battles with federal governments. That's kind of the rationale. In the sense of Maya, well, we started with Dash that has CoinJoin, and we want to take it slowly but surely. Over time, because it's something that we need to normalize again, that privacy is your right. Now, there is also the ethical part where, you know, if Maya, let's say it wasn't Thorchain, it was Maya that was had these FTX hacker funds being moved around, and then, you know, went gone to Zcash to shield and unshield, and then go back to Maya to Bitcoin to then liquidating an exchange. The problem I see here, and it's people need to understand that Maya is a highway. You don't blame the builder of the highway for, you know, transporting criminals when they move from city A to city B. That's illogical. And essentially Maya and Thorchain are doing this highway network across different chains. But the important part is you cannot hold Thorchain and Maya in a higher standard than you hold an L1. The L1s need to be the ones that are thinking about ways to protect their users, to avoid hacks, to not... The reason these hacks are there in the start is for trusting central exchange. Leave that to enforcement. A pain, and it's something that's a net bad in the world, but also having to censor, also having to KYC, also having to, you know, it's always freedom being taken away in the name of safety. But there's a point where whoever is choosing to keep you safe can just go berserk. And once you lost your freedoms, whoever is making that choice that can be corrupted, is more dangerous than whatever he was initially starting to protect you from.
Yeah.
The best protector of yourself is yourself. And people that are willingly subduing or surrendering their rights for safety don't understand the trade they're doing in the long term. So anyway, I do feel that we need to crawl before we can run. And that's why, you know, we're starting small. It's somewhere we would like to take this in the future, understanding that there are much more complex technical hurdles to privacy than other protocols. But Yeah, something I'd like to see, and it's kind of developing on SeraiDex, and something that we kind of were reading about and read on Black Protocol, is privacy-specialized cross-chain DEXs that can kind of get all the heat for all of that, and, mm-hmm. and my approach can remain a bit more neutral on privacy. Machiavellically, understanding we support it, we just don't want to harm the technology. But I think there is a line where, you know, there's full privacy Monero. That's definitely going to piss a lot of people off. And then there's that where it's optional. And I like the model on Zcash where, you know, you have your Z and T addresses and you can Maya by default needs to support open transactions. They need to be transparent in order for ThorChain and Maya to work. So, I think those are kind of the right spice, the right amount of spice for you not to go.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, I like the comparison. Sorry, were you saying something else? I was saying I like the comparison of Maya and ThorChain like being the highways, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to add one correction, though. You mentioned that some funds can be tainted and moved through Zcash and then back to ETH from Maya. That's kind of a misconception a lot of people have, that you can gain privacy just by using a privacy coin for some time. Because if you're just going to use the privacy coins, be it Monero or Zcash or anything else, as just a means to swap in and swap out, it's going to be publicly known that this certain amount was swapped and then swapped out. So you won't be getting real privacy because privacy doesn't come in transit. It comes in storage. So in a way, you'll have to get off the highway to have some privacy and then get on later at a future time if you want to start using such funds. But I do like the highway comparison.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is I think that a lot of people don't really understand how privacy works very well. They just think it's like a switch or something, or, you know, in the world mostly doesn't even know that Bitcoin is traceable, which is, wow. Like, how do you even get there? But, I guess the point also is that, like in the case, like the highway comparison or whatever, if you get off and on the highway in a different car, maybe they can still see it's the same person, right? Because you get off the highway, a different car comes on, going the same speed with the same amount of people in it, or whatever other data is leaked, I guess, by that, during a similar time frame. And it's just like, oh, okay. So like if you're, you know, there's a high-speed chase going down the highway, there's a few cop cars behind this one, and oh, he disappeared off in the bushes, where? And then out of the bushes comes another car behind, like, you know, just acting all innocent. It's like, okay, you know what really happened there. But yeah, so it's definitely a situation where I think that we need to start to redefine in the public perception what is or isn't, what are the capabilities and roles of all these different things, you know?
Yeah, like a shielded transaction or shielded coins, you all get a armored vehicle for your transactions, you know, be it a small payment for a coffee or a large, you know, $1 billion transfer for company purchase mm-hmm. involved. Everybody gets an armored vehicle that goes on the highway and no mm-hmm. one can tell one from the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of the way things should be in the end. Of course, the problem is if something becomes too useful, as you mentioned, if it becomes too useful for privacy and stuff, the people who, you know, who need privacy the most, a lot of whom are people who are actually being pursued by law enforcement, right, will use the technology enough to where then people will say, oh, the whole thing is just for that. And then you start to get banned and you have to do, like, then you kind of lose the normies. So I guess that's kind of where it goes with, like, the idea of, like, a privacy-only DEX kind of thing. Because as far as I know, so ThorChain's developers today, the Nine Realms, are they all anonymous? I actually don't know on that specific case.
Not everybody is anonymous from Nine Realms. From ThorChain, there's one Docs person and the rest are anonymous as well. Mm-hmm. And from the node side of things, which is what actually matters to keep the Ford chain moving, they're all anonymous or pseudonymous.
Yeah. So it's like a mix. It's kind of like definitely not where you can just call up some people and just shut it down, but also potentially some risks that could kind of disrupt things or influence their decision making. And the entire Maya team, from my understanding, is anonymous as well. Of course, if people are good at doing face searches or something, they can probably figure out who you are, Alex. But it's...
Well, I'm the only one. It needed to be, because people wouldn't have even... Maya wouldn't have been born if I wasn't able to kind of show myself and talk, speak, and show that I'm in some shape or form trustworthy for its beginning. Systems are trustless over the long term through code, but at the beginning they inherently need to have, you know, that initial trust granted to them. So
Like Bitcoin had Satoshi, for the first 2 years.
And like I firmly believe, and I said this, I think, last podcast with you, Joel. We're very close to being in a situation where we no longer need to really fight, that we kind of actually won when we're too big and too well known, and people understand that we're normal and we're, you know, doing things of value. So my guess is 5 to 8 years. I don't know. But after that, I know I don't need to.
You don't need to worry.
That inclined, yeah. And, you know, thankfully, I'm in Mexico, and you know, I'll be all right here. I'll be all right. But it's so important that the market, the space keeps developing in such a way that there's so many people that could contribute so much of value, but are just afraid to do it. Because of the stigma, because of the taboo, because of what are they going to say, because government is starting to shut down some accounts because of, you know, Tornado Cash or whatever. As soon as we get over these hurdles, this will keep developing at an exponential rate. Anyway, I love exponential systems, S-curves, and I just see it's inevitable that we get there at this point. I think doing this bear, I think I've seen where escape velocity, because even this bear is not so bad. Thorchin cranking, you know, cranked $300 million of volume yesterday, swap volume, in a bear.
That's a lot. it's more in when centralized exchange volume is down, but that's kind of going up. You kind of see that exponential thing. Of course, I'm kind of immune to bear markets at this point because I use, you know, Zcash and Dash, which are just always in a bear market. But that's a different subject. Definitely you see that kind of coming. And now Thorchain has had some interesting messaging on the whole issue. And I actually had Chad on my regular show to talk about the privacy coin delisting drama of a little over a year ago. And now there's no more drama. I'm going to see if I can get him on again to talk more. But I'm just going to hit on a couple of these tweets that I saw. So first of all, this is back in June, where Laura Shin, podcaster, tweeted about Binance will delist 12 privacy coins, including Monero and Zcash in France, Italy, Poland, and Spain. And Chad Barriford, the big Thorchain guy, says, what we need is a DEX that can cross-chain connect to non-EVM chains like Monero and Zcash. And there's only one project that can even technically accomplish this. It's Thorchain. And so then, just trying to, this is the evidence of this September, so a little under a month ago, Pluto from the Nine Realms, the Thorchain development team, he gave his opinion that he thinks that Tron should be the next chain on Thorchain. And then Chad said, and then he just said, Polygon or Zcash, we have comms with those teams and they're already warm. So that's kind of on Chad's mind, that he he would prefer to have Polygon or Zcash on Thorchain. And I think he has, and a few other Thorchain people have said, like, we should do Zcash next, which sounds great. You know, yes, I'm all for it. I'm not sure how much I trust that, because we've heard that before where it's just like, yes, we're going to add Dash, we're going to add this, Zcash next, and then just like years later, like, oh, look, let's add Terra Luna instead. Let's add Dogecoin instead. And then, you know, who knows where this goes.
So again, if I can interject here, it's yes, not up absolutely. To the individuals to decide what chain goes in next, right? Because these are decentralized protocols, mm-hmm. and there's a voting that's done by the node runners, and they decide which chain to enable. And to even get a chain to a stage where it can be voted on, there is just so much work and testing that has to be done. So maybe once we get to a voting round, then we should start talking about what gets added next. But sure, in terms of excitement, in terms of gauging interest, in terms of gauging where volume and liquidity would be the most, I think that was the decision behind getting Terra Luna and other chains added at the time, because that was where most of the crypto ecosystem were having high volumes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and Dogecoin, maybe I'm a little annoyed or salty about that still, but it was based, from my personal opinion and perspective, it was Elon Musk tweeted about it, the speculative price went crazy, and then a lot of services, I guess I would say, either falsely anticipated there would be a lot of actual usage and volume through Dogecoin and were disappointed, or knew that that would be the case but decided to draw attention to their service by integrating something they knew that no one would use, but would just get attention on the project. So I don't know which it was, but this is a small aside. But so then it comes to, I guess the next question is, if Zcash is going to get into this ecosystem, so far as it stands, it's Thorchain and Maya that are out there. I guess what are the pros and cons of, you know, trying to get on one or the other? Obviously, so one thing I will sort of submit for the evidence type thing is obviously Thorchain is doing like orders of magnitude higher volume, so there's a lot more opportunity there. And on the other side, I guess personalized attention and things like that that you get from the Maya side is extremely different. Like from my experience in like working, you know, with the Dash community in the Maya protocol, I have noticed that, you know, the Maya's kind of opened doors for Dash that were not necessary for the integration into Maya. Right. It's like, you know, it's the amplifying effect of like a new partner. Whereas I don't know if Thorchain is, they got so many bigger fish to fry that even if they do add something like Zcash, I don't know if they have the attention to do more than just make sure the integration's done right, make sure to arrange for liquidity and just like happy trading, but like to go out of their way and approach wallets and interfaces and like, hey, you know, MetaMask or whatever, do you want to, or you know, insert MetaMask competitor, do you want to add this token because like we support them too and you want to support us, and you know, like, so that's just like two things that I kind of throw out from my perspective. What do you guys think?
So maybe to go back to the plan, I think it's still a good idea to finish what we started initially, which is a target for Thorchain, because that is where they had the most procedures defined for us, including the volume and such. So we want to get to a stage where the voting can be turned on and let the chain decide whether they want to add Zcash or not. I mean, that is no way putting a Maya as a second or such, but just because we haven't explored the Maya procedure of how to get added, but just because we have the whole grant targeted towards Thorchain, I think it's a good idea to get the voting done first and then look at alternatives.
No worries. I'm fine with being the second prettiest girl in the dance floor.
Yeah.
No, I fully agree and support that. Thorchain is obviously in volume way higher than Maya. Obviously, we will be growing. And I know, you know, we've got a lot coming for us, going for us. But yeah, actually merging from ThorChain towards Maya, rebasing it towards Maya, it's quick work, and we'll do it in due time if needed, and we'll be open to discuss it then. But as you say, it's totally respectable that you take that first shot, and we'll see where that takes you guys. And yeah, what Joel was mentioning, we have less going on than ThorChain. These guys are changing the world, and we're changing the world a little bit. So it's easier for us to have that bandwidth to be able to talk with our partners, talk with the chain communities. And it's something we must do to even survive. So anyway.
I mean, ideally, I would have just liked to get started with Maya as a stepping stone. But then there's other issues that pop up, right? With all the stuff going with ThorChain. And what if the users then say, oh, if you want to use Zcash, just go to Maya. Don't come here because we have too many eyes on us. Instead, give them the offer. You guys vote on it, ThorChain, and decide instead of coming up with all kind of different narratives. You know how CT goes.
Yeah, of course. Now, as far as, you know, the benefits of using which chain or whatever, my personal preference would be to have Zcash and Dash, the ones I tend to use the more often, on the same chain, so it's just easier to swap, so it's not like between ThorChain to then Maya. But a lot of that kind of like cross-chain stuff, because I do also end up using Bitcoin Cash and Litecoin sometimes, those are on ThorChain, you know, Dash is not, so there's always that little like two-step process there. But there is progress being made with what pass-through data and stuff like that. I kind of like heard about it in concept and read a little bit, but I don't know where we are today with that, or what form it's taken today. Do you have any idea where everyone's at with that, Alex?
Yeah, so TC aggregation to Maya, we have the issue scoped out and it's ready to go. We just need to work on the code and test it. But we have already we had meetings with ThorChain teams, and we have the path quite clear on how it would work. But essentially, you'll be able to swap from any asset on ThorChain to any asset on Maya with one click, one signature, and pretty quick. So, yeah.
And so, does that, what are kind of like limitations or extra considerations the way this thing's kind of turned out? Is it like, I'm sure it'd be an extra fee because you have to do two swaps instead of one. I'm sure there's got to be extra waiting time as well because of, you know, you have to go wait for it to kind of go. Like how much extra waiting time would that be if it's across the two networks?
Depends on the size of the transaction. A small transaction, with small, I'm talking about less than $5,000, should go pretty fast. Now you're trying to do something, you know, 10, 100 K, 200 K, that would take a while.
Especially
if you're using streaming swaps. Do you have to take into account the confirmation time, the streaming swap, the outbound delay? Yeah.
How many confirmations are required on certain chains on Maya for a swap to complete?
Depends. It's variable. If it's a very small transaction, say Bitcoin, a very small transaction will just require one conf. A very large transaction might require 20. So it's actually a function of transaction size.
That's also a good advantage for users, because one thing that happened in the last couple of weeks for Zcash was that now we have one majority miner with more than 50% of the hash. So Coinbase announced that they're going to increase the confirmation count to more than 100 confirmations, I believe, for Zec. And also remove market orders. So we have only limit orders on Coinbase Exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something where it makes they kind of give it an interesting advantage to Dash is having the chain locks function that basically means one block is good, one confirmation is permanent. And I know that that caused a lot of extra dev work when trying to integrate into Thorchain and then Maya for Dash was, you know, how to recognize a chain lock and things like that and unique architecture things. But yeah, definitely something that I have to be, you know, taken under consideration for that kind of thing. But yeah, it's nothing's like complete magic. Already I feel any kind of complaints about like waiting times and stuff for using what I consider to be like literal magic, which is these cross-chain AMM dexes. It's like magic. Like how is there just like a virtual vending machine. You just put coins in and I get something else out and it just works and like, how? Wow, that's crazy. So, but yeah, there's always that kind of consideration. So I guess if you have to swap, it does make it so that some things might take a little longer on some end, but it still should not really cause too much of a disruption, right?
Yeah,
well, cool. So any other final thoughts, any other considerations, anything else we didn't cover that you think we should, you know, we think you should cover before we end this thing?
No,
I'm just touch back on the point that privacy coin and privacy tech builders are building tools. The actors can be bad, but these tools are not bad in itself. You know, privacy is normal and privacy is a human right.
Yeah, we can get behind that. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah.
Random question. You talked about the whole like 5 to 8 years time horizon before, you know, basically like the legacy systems collapse and we don't have to worry about them anymore, sort of. Obviously, it's very more broad, but have you placed any, other than working on Maya and have you placed any specific bets to that effect? Like, have you done any kind of like bets of like within 5 to 8 years? You know, this will be the decentralized financial system will be the dominant financial system on the planet or something. Have you done any kind of actual speculation like that?
Well, Maya, my time and Maya is right now mostly self-funded. So there it is. That's and it's a big bet. So that is my money where the mouth is.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely makes sense. And that is something that I did notice about one thing that I appreciate, and I'm not sure it's a good idea yet, but hopefully it is Maya's like zero inflation model where the network is entirely sustained by fees from the very moment it launches, which is considering how much fee volume even very well established blockchains get is pretty scary. And like Rune, you know, with Rune holders always sort of subsidized the Thorchain security and, you know, liquidity and stuff like that. And so that's one thing that I think, other than just being a smaller, newer project, that's one thing I think that gets a lot of like personalized attention from Maya is that the fire under the ass, right? Of like, oh, we got to get this thing moving. We got to get this thing moving or we'll just like run out. We won't be able to do this anymore. And so, yeah, it's very interesting stuff. All right. Well, this has been a very nice chat. Why don't you, let's hit on Shill O'Clock. Where would you guys direct people? Adi, do you want to go first? Well, what are you guys working on? What cool stuff do you have coming up and where would you link people?
Well, we have the @NighthawkWallet on X. We recently just announced our beta versions for Android and iOS coming out of a year long of revamp, redevelopment and re-architecturing of our wallets. There's still a lot of work to be done and new features to be shipped. So you can check out the test version if you'd like to contribute and then look out for a public launch coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And so that's @NighthawkApps is the right one because I know I tagged all the wrong Twitter accounts on the on the announcement. And then
right, so Nighthawk Apps is the org, and Nighthawk Wallet is the handle for the actual app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And Alex, I assume It's just the usual, right? At my protocol, at Alex Smith, yes, and start, go to Thor Wallet or Eldorado or others to start swapping with Maya today and see if you like it. The new version 107 just came out. Hopefully some technical issues were addressed and everything, and everything should be smooth. So let's hope that. And yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. This has been great. I'm going to be trying to get someone on in the next few weeks to talk about the Zcash Brave browser integration, because that's something I'm very excited about, and kind of for me, because I'm not involved in it, kind of came out of left field and very interesting to learn more about. So everyone, thanks for watching. Thanks guys for being on. Thanks for putting up with Jitsi throwing a fit. And yeah, I'll see you guys, next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. See ya.